League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood here in Lambeau Field. Ryan said he looks like Hannibal Lecter with his little.
I'm special. This is because I can't talk at one level. I go up and down according to her. So
yeah,
we'll try this out.
Technical advancement right here. Anyways, Hannibal Lecter might would be, I don't, well, never mind. I was going to try to make a joke off Hannibal Lecter, and
nope.
It just went nowhere.
It's too soon still.
Went nowhere, much like the Packers after tonight, losing 27-17 to the Tennessee Titans. They had a chance to get their second win in 5 days. Instead, split the games, which we had said at the beginning would be the good case scenario for them, but it doesn't feel like a good case scenario after this loss. This team just looked lost yet again. I mean, Ryan, I know you and I both said that this was somehow, after seven losses, this was the most somber the locker room has been all season. Did it feel like this was just kind of the final song for the 2022 Packers, or are we overreacting?
It was completely quiet. The quietest been all year, and there were a lot of blank stares. And to me, I thought the death blow was the 2 weeks ago against Detroit. I mean, you lose, and I said at the time, you lose to the Lions. That's a terrible football team. You lose to the Lions when you've lost four straight and you drop to 3-6, you're in a hole that you're not digging out of, and you need so much to go right. And Aaron Rodgers said early in the season that their margin of error is so small that when you're 3-6, you don't have the margin to make that up. But now at 4-7, I mean, they really needed to win the Lions game, probably the Commanders game as well. And that, and then you're 6-5, and it's a different outlook, and you have a chance. But, you know, they had no margin of error, and they lost tonight to end all momentum they had, 4-7. I think it felt like the players knew, that they knew where they were, and it's just it's not their season.
Spoon, coming into this game, you know you're facing the league's number one rush defense, and it's going to be tough to run, which it was. I think grand total between Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and Christian Watson, they rushed for 56 yards. And when that is the case, it messes up everything on offense, especially with this offense, because your run sets up your pass, and it did little of that versus the Titans. I mean, outside of Christian Watson and Randall Cobb, you could argue they got no efficient production really out of their passing game. They went almost exclusively to the passing game in the second half. I think they ran 39 plays in the second half, and 28 of them were passes. They only ran 10 times, and then there was a sack. In the first half, they ran 20 plays because the Titans had a 10-minute drive in the second quarter that just ate up the clock. They ran 20 plays in the first half. 9 of them were runs, 11 passes. That's a little more balanced. After the game, Alan Lazard told me, we should have relied on the pass more in the first half. Do you think that's the case?
I do. I saw the comment that LaFleur said, Tennessee's trying to get you into a one-dimensional game, and they are. But, you know, usually you don't want to get in a one-dimensional game with Aaron Rodgers, because if you're going to just let him pass the ball all the time, usually that's a losing proposition. But they rolled the dice and won. You know, they got 7 right off the first roll. Yeah, I would have started out a little more play action, and then I thought they should have gone to some no huddle early in the first half, or at least, you know, to start the second half and try to get the plays back, you know, try to hurry it up, get some tempo. And they were just stagnant. Now, all that said, they had a chance to win. They had several chances to win, but they had these drives that ended in just head-scratching manners with throws from Rodgers that were just, you know, that tell me that his thumb isn't right.
Do you think it's the thumb?
Yeah. I don't see how it could be anything else. I really don't. He hasn't lost his arm strength. He hasn't lost, prior to the thumb injury, he didn't lose any strength that I saw or accuracy. I think, you know, the thumb thing has just overtaken him. And think about it. He's playing 3 days after he just played. Right. Usually he gets a whole week to rehab.
So if you think it's the thumb... Do you put any stock into the narrative that he's washed? Because the thumb can be rehabbed.
Washed?
Done.
For his career?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so. I don't know if he's done here. He might be done here, but I don't think he's done for his career. I think he could continue to play. I think once his thumb is healed, he'll be fine. He may be fine. You know, if they should actually sit him for a little while. And, I mean, they're
like
out of it.
If they're out of contention?
Yeah, they're out of it. Just like they did in, what year was that, when they lost in Carolina?
2018.
Yeah.
17? Well, it was 17. I think it was 2017. Yeah, I'm sorry, it was 17. It's late.
Actually, I know it was 2017, and you know how
correct.
I know this? This is going to be really random. When Dede Westbrook was signed, someone on Twitter shared a clip of Blake Bortles to Dede Westbrook for a touchdown. And it was the year, it was Dede Westbrook's rookie year. And it was the year that the Jaguars went all the way to the AFC championship game against the Patriots. And that was 2017. Now, this is how I know it was the Packers. This is how I know they set Aaron Rodgers that year. Because in that clip that was circulating Twitter this week of that throw, on the bottom, on the ticker, it had Brett Huntley's stats from a game earlier that week.
And this is how we don't hit our deadline on the podcast every week.
I knew that. I just knew it was 2017 because of that. So you're saying sit him possibly and go ahead. Is that so much?
After the Philly game, you know, when they lose in Philadelphia, their season's over now, but when they lose in Philadelphia, that'll just lock it up. And then they just have to make some decisions on what they're going to do, who they're going to play. Start thinking about the future.
Matt LaFleur is very much not there right now. He was asked effectively that, do you start playing young players? And he said, you know, my mindset. So I think they're going to go into Philly trying to win that game and trying to get the 5-7, but I'm with you. And no, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is washed. I mean, the arm strength's there, and between the broken thumb or whatever it is and the lack of experience receiving talent, I mean, it's a lot to make up.
There is a lack of receiving talent, but let's just spend quick little moment. Do you feel like you've got something in Christian Watson now? I mean, 5 touchdowns in 4 days.
Yeah. And, you know, the shame for them is that Romeo Doubs got hurt because he was putting them together. They're looking good for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't, they add a veteran guy in free agency, and all of a sudden they're looking pretty good. But it was too little too late, you know, and Watson and Doubs never cross paths. So, but yeah, Watson's a player, you know. I think we can say that now.
Here's the thing for me. I think the Packers got adequate production out of their passing game tonight. Now, it took 39 passes to get there, which is never ideal. But Randall Cobb had the leading receiver. Mm-hmm. He caught all 6 of his targets for 73 yards. Alan Lazard had an okay night, 5 mm-hmm. catches for 57 yards. Christian Watson was their third receiver, and he got both the touchdowns, but 4 for 48. The problem tonight was Aaron Jones going 40 yards on 12 carries. The way this offense is built, if Aaron Jones ever goes 40 yards on 12 carries, they're not beating anybody. Yeah, you got to have run production for this offense to do anything. It's got to be Aaron Jones.
You've got to have run production in this offense. But again, I just kind of go back to, you knew coming in that that was probably going to be the case, and you had to work around it. You had to scheme around it. Even if it was checkdowns to Aaron Jones, I'm not even concerned about his rushing numbers. I'm concerned about his total touches.
I agree. And his total yards from scrimmage.
Wheel routes, screens, just get him out to the edges, and they didn't do that.
No.
He's still your best playmaker. You don't have to run him straight up the middle to do it.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that if he has 40 rushing yards against anybody, this offense and team is going nowhere. Whether you expect it to be, whether they're going against a good run defense or not, they have to get production out of Aaron Jones to be a good team.
Yeah, and they tried in the receiving game. They tried those screens, which were a total disaster. Mm-hmm. He had 6 catches for 20 yards, Jones. So
it's 18 touches.
They tried to get it to him. Tennessee, screens aren't going to work against Tennessee because they're such a physical team. They just blow everything up. Somehow you had to sucker them into being over aggressive, and I don't know if that meant doing more end arounds or counter plays or something. They had to try to take advantage of that, and they didn't.
I think the only end around we saw tonight was on the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, and that was a nice play. They had a couple plays where they got it outside, but you know, you look at the fourth quarter and they're still in the game. It's 27-17. But, you know, they've got that 3-and-out to start. You know, he goes deep to Christian Watson on the very first play. I guess that's – I could see taking that shot, but –
Did you think that was DPI?
No.
No.
And then the third down play on that to Tanyan was just weird. He just
– It was like he didn't know it was coming to him almost.
Yeah, but it was almost like – the ball was so weirdly thrown. Mm-hmm. Then they get the interception, the defense, and then he's got Sammy Watkins running wide open across the middle, and he misses him. And then later he's got Lazard running right across the middle. So two of those drives could have been touchdown drives.
Rodgers took the blame for both the Sammy Watkins and the Allen Lazard throws. He said both of those should have been better throws. But Allen Lazard was pushed on it a little bit after the game, too. Like, could you not have jumped to make that catch? And he said, I've got to catch the ball. The ball has to be catchable. And that was sort of his answer.
I don't believe he could have caught it. I really don't.
It was a little high. It was on top of his fingers, and he's a tall guy.
I mean, for me, it's really simple. We know this team by now. We've seen them 11 games. Before tonight, we saw them 10 games. That's a large sample size. Knowing this team the way we do, two numbers it boils down to. If you see 39 passes for Aaron Rodgers and you see 18 touches for 60 yards for Aaron Jones, that's a loss. They don't win that game against anybody. They can't win that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty simple why they weren't able to muster more. They got to get Aaron Jones going. They can't have it 39 throws.
And what we saw on Sunday was complimentary. You know, Rudy Ford gets 2 interceptions. They turn those both into touchdowns. It felt like for 3 quarters tonight, the offense, of course, was struggling, but playing not horrible, and the defense was struggling. And then in the fourth quarter, the defense flipped a switch, and the offense couldn't do anything with it.
That's the story of their season.
Yeah, yep. Rasul Douglas gets an interception with a pretty good return. Keyshawn Nixon has an electric punt return, and the offense does nothing with it. But let's focus on the defense now. As we said, 3 quarters of just sorry play. I mean, that's really the best way to put it. What were Ryan Tannehill's final numbers?
22 for 27, 333, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and like 127.3 season high passer rating.
And he had 5 passes of 30-plus yards.
Yep.
Anytime Ryan Tannehill has 5 passes of 30-plus yards on your secondary, that's talking about numbers that you know are going to be a loss, that's a loss.
They hit him 5 times all night. Yeah. What the Packers' defense essentially did was sell out to stop Derrick Henry. He was the entire game plan, to the point where, I mean, on one play, the first series of the play of the second series, they employed four defensive linemen, which you almost never see from this defense. He was the entire game plan, and that worked. I mean, 87 yards for on 28 carries. You hold, as Kenny Clark said, you hold Derrick Henry to 3.1 yards per carry. You need to win that game. The problem is that they completely sold out up front. They changed their fronts. They loaded the box. They left their secondary completely exposed without being able to get any pressure on Ryan Tannehill. And when that happened, he carved him up. So you, it's like I wrote, it's whop-a-mole defense. You cover one hole but leave the other exposed, and they can't cover everything.
Do you mean whack-a-mole?
Whatever.
I've never heard it called whop-a-mole. Sorry, you just threw me off for a second. And granted, you come into a game, like you said, and you hold Derrick Henry to 87 yards. You don't expect Ryan Tannehill necessarily to carve you up on the deep ball.
Season high passer rating.
And that's exactly what happened. Spoon, what was Jaire Alexander telling you in the locker room towards the end?
Well, just that, you know, sort of what Ryan was saying, that when you're all run defense like that, it changes stuff, and it changed basically how they play defense. And I, you know, if you're going to do that, you have to be sure you are sound everywhere else too. And they put a lot of pressure on their secondary to cover, but the communication errors were ridiculous. I mean, the tight end caught, it was sort of down the right sideline on the Packers sideline, and Jaire Alexander points to Savage, this is my guy, and he comes back, and Savage lets him go and goes after Alexander's guy. How does that happen? You know, then after the Robert Woods play, Savage and Rasul Douglas are not on the same page. And afterwards, you know, Douglas is like, hey, I thought we were this or whatever. And it was just like that all night. Austin Hooper goes right down the middle. You know, Adrian Amos is there, but like he doesn't, you know, play the leverage that makes him bend it a certain way. And Hooper ran right into the place, the only place Tannehill could throw it, you know, between Ford and Amos. But, you know, if he's playing his leverage better, he forces Hooper to go around him a little bit. It's just like, what's going on? And so I just think there's like dysfunction in how maybe there's like five different philosophies going on. Maybe Jerry Gray's teaching one thing, Barry's teaching another, Montgomery's teaching something else. All I know is they are just a mishmash of bad play.
I also think this. I think that the Titans gave Matt LaFleur a clinic on why you stick with the running game, even if it's only getting 3 yards per carry. And you've got a stud running back. Both teams had a stud running back. You stick with your stud running back because you look at the stat sheet, you see 87 yards, 28 carries. Packers run defense did a really good job. But their run game, Derrick Henry was still the engine for that entire offense. Yeah. By sticking with the run game, and you've got 87 yards, 28 carries. One side, you got Aaron Jones with 40 yards on 12 carries.
Yeah,
double the numbers. What is that? 24 carries, 80 yards. Pretty similar, right? Well, on the Titans, because they were getting those 4-3 yard carries, they were on schedule down in distance the entire game. They hit 7 of their first 10 third downs, and there was a 4th and short conversion. They were 3rd and shorting the Packers defense to death. That's why they were stringing together long drives, because even though it's only the second time all season that Derrick Henry has not had a double digit a carry of 10 yards or more, he didn't break any off. But even still, sticking with him kept you on schedule. That's what this Packers offense has needed to do all season, to keep them on schedule and to make it easier for an offense that's got its work cut out for it. And they just aren't able to do that. Tonight, They're not able to run it, kind of like the Titans weren't able to run it. The Titans stuck with the run game. They didn't. The Packers did not stick with the run game with Aaron Jones, and you can't afford not to do that.
3-4-3 will get you 10 every time.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, they almost would have been better if Henry would have hit them for a couple of bigger runs so they could get the ball back. But they just kept prolonging these drives. And the thing that, you know, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're playing a team that doesn't have great wide receivers, which they don't, you know, you have to throw something at them that, you know, they're not expecting. And that's what Tennessee did to them with these some of the passing stuff that they did was really well designed, and I don't think the Packers were ready for it. I think they were thinking run, and then, you know, Tannehill all of a sudden is throwing with Derrick Henry in the game, you know, and they have no alternative to it. They switched up some coverages at halftime, and I think that helped, but it was too late.
Well, what the Titans did, and Dean Lowry told me this, they knew. He said, Dean Lowry said, our goal tonight was to stop Derrick Henry, and the Titans knew that. So what they did was a lot of their passing plays came out of big personnel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of play action. They threw downfield with formations that were designed to show run. And really, they stayed one step ahead of Joe Barry.
Yeah, and the one I was talking about to Robert Wood was a two-man route with four defenders, and they can't defend it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Joe Barry's going to say, I called the perfect defense for it. Well, something's going wrong in the meeting rooms or wherever that they can't cover that. It just doesn't, something's wrong. And, you know, I've resisted saying, you know, Joe Barry must be fired and everything like that, but I'm convinced LaFleur made the wrong choice in hiring him, and he's going to have to make a move after the season.
You think you can wait till after the season?
Well, I'd be surprised if he did it mid-season. I don't think it's a really good idea to do it unless you're just – a lot of times it's a coach who's in trouble who gets rid of somebody, you know, in mid-season. Dan Campbell sacrificed Aubrey Pleasant, but he was a secondary coach, a passing game coordinator. You know, to get rid of Barry now, I guess he could do it. I guess he could do it.
Jerry Gray called the plays?
Yeah, he could. But LaFleur's either has to do that or has to sit those guys down and figure out what the hell the problem is.
If you're going to do it in season, now would probably be the right time.
Yeah, it would.
Because here's the thing. You still have a sample size left to see what you have
right.
with Jerry Gray and give right. that a test run and get enough film and knowledge info before you have to make a decision on which direction you go with that really key important job this offseason.
Athletic director told me one time what must be done eventually must be done immediately.
Mm. Good point.
That is so good.
Why not wait? Go ahead and see what you got, like you said, with Jerry Gray. Before we move on and wrap up, small positive point with the Packers tonight. Feels like, and I know there's still a long way to go. Ryan, you had a tweet that was funny about he's still as green as the grass here, but you got something with Keyshawn Nixon at punt returner, right?
It's raw and
it's a thrill ride.
A little white knuckling there, you know, but he's confident. And he's explosive.
His best return tonight, actually, the Packers' best punt return all season, a 24-yard punt return, came off of he picked the punt up off of a bounce, ran into a wall, and then reversed field and went to the other sideline.
Yeah, that was pretty gutsy.
And took it back 24 yards. I imagine Rich Bisaccia was, like, cursing up and down and then switching. Again, it's all confidence. Do you feel like when he learns the position a little bit better, it'll take that away, or will it add technique to that confidence?
He's never going to lose confidence.
No. You know, the thing about Keyshawn Nixon, it's a very small sample size. But he does appear to have the hands for the job, and that's mm-hmm. the most important thing.
And he's got the short area quickness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need more guys like Keyshawn Nixon. You know, you need guys who are cocky and can back it up. Now, he gave up a long...
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Long completion. But...
To be fair, a lot of people were giving those up tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a good special teams player that... they're lucky to have them. And you just need more guys with that attitude. And they don't really have a lot of guys. Quay Walker has that attitude. He mm-hmm. plays with an attitude. Devondre Campbell plays kind of with that attitude. But I don't know that they got a whole bunch of other guys that play with that attitude. Their safeties aren't, yeah. you know.
I'd say Rasul does a little.
Yeah, Rasul Douglas does. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. How did Bisaccia explain it? Dirt on the back of his neck?
Yeah.
I asked Nixon about that, and he said, I resent that. I'm clean. anyways, going back to kind of what you were saying about possibly sitting guys, when you're sitting guys and figuring out what you've got and where, what unit do you want to figure out what you've got? Does that make sense? Like, is it safety? Is it corner? Is it... tight end, like, where are you kind of wanting to see, this is where we can mold something, this is where it's time to move on?
Well, I would start to think about left tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, is there anybody who really thinks that David Bakhtiari will be back next year?
I'm so conflicted, because when he's in there, he's still really solid.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
But you don't know week to week if he'll be in there. And granted, he's played the last four. And so he's stringing together games, but again, you still don't know week to week, and that's a lot of money to be paying for unknowns.
I would guess that if he's back, it would probably be on a pay cut. I don't know if David Bakhtiari has no onus on him to take a pay cut.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I would guess that they would present that to him. And I would think there'd be some incentive for him to come back because he has played well. I wonder if having a full season back, the more he plays, the more knowledge he'll gain on how to stay on the field and maintenance and those sort of things. This has been an incredibly challenging riddle for them to figure out how to stay on the field. And it seems like over the past couple of weeks they've gotten better with mm-hmm. it.
That's a really good point.
And so the more he plays, the more stable I would think that would become. But the salary figures to be paid like the highest offensive lineman in NFL history when this all has been going on, it doesn't match up dollars and cents. I would imagine, again, David Bakhtiari's got no onus on him to take a pay cut. I imagine he knows that too. So see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't a ton of... they got a lot of young players who are the future and they're playing. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd like to see Samari Toure more. You know, at some point I'd like to see Sean Ryan and see what he could do. You know,
their other fourth round pick.
Devontae Wyatt at some point should just replace Jerron Reed.
I was going to say defensive line between Devontae Wyatt and TJ Slayton.
Yeah.
Getting those guys more. Here's the thing with the offensive line. You start taking pieces away from that at some point. I think we would all expect that Jordan Love's going to be playing games this season.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to give yourself the best look on Jordan Love around him.
Sure.
So that's
plus where do you play Ryan? I don't even know.
That's the one hang up I have there. But I think the defensive line, and I think, you know, obviously by necessity, because Rashawn Gary's not coming back this season with the ACL, but seeing what they have with JJ Enagbare and TJ Slayton, Devontae Wyatt, those guys up front, getting depth there, what you have from a depth standpoint, I think that would be interesting.
Excuse me. Final thing, guys, before we wrap up. Leroy Butler got his name put on the stadium tonight. Then he did a Lambo leap, an assisted Lambo leap with a stool. He said in his post-game press conference, or in his post-celebration press conference, you know, get your name on the stadium and do one final leap in a gold jacket, it's the perfect way to end your career.
That's a great moment for him.
That was, yeah, pretty poetic. Spooner, I know you've done a lot of work with Leroy. How cool was it just to kind of see him get that ceremony tonight, get his ring, his name in the ring?
It was very cool. I can't wait to rib him about mentioning Pick and Save.
That was so funny.
That was hilarious. Didn't he drop at least one other sponsor?
Yeah, he dropped
a couple.
Basically all of them.
The insurance company.
Leroy.
So did the Hall of Fame guy. He's like, oh, and here's your ring from K Jewelers. Yeah. You know, and I'd like to thank, you know, Beauty Rest or something for the great night's sleep I had last night.
That was great.
That was cheesy. But anyway, it was a great night for him. And I don't know what it is about Hall of Fame putting names up there, but they always lose. Remember Favre went up there, they lost to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bart Starr was there too.
Mm-hmm. Charles Woodson got his name on the stadium last year and they won. Right?
Did they? I don't remember.
I'd say this. It's something to Charles Woodson and Roy Butler up there together. Now, those are two really, really, really good DBs.
Yeah, they could use both of them.
They sure
and Nick
could.
Collins, who was down there too on the field.
I saw somebody tweet like, is Leroy Butler still in the stadium? And in completely unrelated note, do we have an extra set of pads in the locker room?
Yep.
Yeah, they needed his hitting and his ball skills tonight. Guys, you get a mini bye now. Well, Matt LaFleur will meet with the media on Friday, so there'll be an update from that. And then you get a little mini bye. What are you doing with your weekend?
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I know I'm not going to be up here.
Yep.
Just relax and probably won't be watching football.
Nope.
Oh, see, I'm thinking I have a whole Sunday. I can watch football.
Yeah.
Because when you're working games, it's hard to watch games.
It is.
When you're working games every week, it's nice to maybe have a weekend without watching games because I'll be right back on it.
I'll throw a Hallmark movie in there too.
Family time for me. It's a long grind to have your first mini bye this late in the season. Yeah, just hanging out with the kids.
Yep.
And then we'll be back on the grind on Monday, getting ready to take the Packers to Philadelphia to face the 8-1 Eagles. We'll be
Eagles.
Huh?
The Eagles.
Who the Washington Commanders of all people have provided a blueprint on how to beat. Like I said, we'll be there to cover it for you all. We'll continue to have wrap-up coverage from this game. And then, like I said, we'll disappear for a day or two. Everyone kind of catch up on their sleep, their laundry. And then stay tuned to PackersNews.com for full coverage as we get ready to head into Week 12 against the Eagles. Guys, in the words of Aaron Rodgers, where are we headed now? Home. Thanks so much, as always. This has been the Green Knight Team Podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.